This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:04 in the evening, and for our first story of this hour, so you might have seen this. Rolling Stone recently reported that Taylor Swift is secretly surveilling her fans using facial recognition technology. And while that sounds like something out of a sci-fi film, she's actually doing that to root out her stalkers.
So she so far has stayed silent on the report, declining to comment to The Guardian and other news organizations. But the episode has raised ethical questions for civil rights groups concerned about privacy. While it's understandable why she would want to have this in place to feel protected, to feel safe, but it does have larger implications beyond this one use. Where is this technology headed?
So according to a study by Georgetown University in 2016, roughly 117 million people's identities are already in facial recognition databases, and there's actually minimal legal instruction on how that data can be used.
So security analysts say these technologies aren't perfect, and because of this, it can cause security staff to target innocent people. There's also the issue of how the data is collected, managed and stored, and whether it will be breached or shared.
Now, the reason why we wanted to talk about this is not necessarily because we are huge Taylor Swift fans, but it's simply because we've been skirting around this issue of surveillance quite often. For example, when we talk about traffic violations, when we talk about parking, when we talk about these sorts of misdemeanors that happen in daily life, we tend to get messages from listeners fully in support of the notion of surveillance in the same way, literally cited in the same way that China does it, where you have a database and people are monitored pretty much all day for all these different things that happen, for, you know, thefts, things as big as like snatch thefts and, you know, other violent crimes. But you also have things as minor as, you know, traffic.
Or like loitering.
Exactly. So I found it personally a little bit unsettling that people were so quick to say, hey, let's follow China's model. Let's, you know, go in with the surveillance. And I think what this Taylor Swift story shows is that whether we like it or not, it's going to come, regardless of what our personal, you know, discomfort might be within the studio. It's not going to change the fact that, hey, it's going to happen. But I think I just wanted to understand a little bit more about what exactly it's going to encompass, because it's a lot.
I think we also need to be aware of its possible consequences. Yes, it feels good to be able to catch those people who, you know, didn't use Signal and may have almost hit your car.
In the act. That's the satisfaction. It's like, hey, look, there's video. You can't run from this.
Yeah, but you know, this could have lifelong consequences. Sometimes you may be at the end of the one who may be driving badly, and if you're ID'd for that, that can be lifelong, you know, if your behavior is said to be bad, could banks know about this information? Could your future employers know about this information? And it might just be one moment that ruins or makes your life difficult for a very long time.
That, and we've also been talking a lot about privacy breaches recently and how easy that is based on, well, location-based services that we enable on our phones. And now when you add our faces into the mix and the kinds of information that's collected on a day-to-day basis, just based on the cameras that we walk past constantly without being aware of them, I think there are just so many issues to consider on this. And like I said, I've always wondered why people were kind of so quick to say, yes, surveillance is good. And we would love to hear from you, actually. Just because we're uncomfortable with it doesn't mean that you have to be. It doesn't mean that we don't want to understand why it is that people might be all for it. If you feel that surveillance is a good thing, or just in general, send your thoughts through. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Also briefly, just we received some messages earlier about party hopping. With this first, party hopping is just an insult to the democratic system. We should have a law to prevent this. I'm curious, can voters challenge in court to eliminate party hoppers? And that came through from Kian Yong. I don't know, actually. I don't know whether you can challenge in court. But the law to prevent this is basically what the senator is proposing.
Hafiz says, the question is, who did you vote, the party or the candidate? If you vote because of the candidate, then it doesn't matter which party they're a member of.
And I think that the reason why we're seeing so much anger is because a lot of people vote for the party.
Yeah, and yeah. That's basically how Malaysians in general will vote.
Vincent, hoppers are not allowed. We voted these people out. We do not want them in power. This is not putting power in the hands of the rakyat. And another message here from Zach saying they need to resign as the MP represents the party when voting was done. Laws should be created to punish this MP. Otherwise, what's the point of election? You know, they're just going to jump to the winning team.
Our next message comes from Kevin. Bersatu will become a rebadged Proton X70.
And that's just a combination of all the news of the week, basically. Keep your messages coming, whether it's about party hopping. We've got a tweet here from Hillary saying, MPs are more interested in party affairs, thus without political parties, the interest is back to the people. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. We want to hear from you, whether it's about party hopping or whether it's about surveillance. How open should we be to accepting this technology? We're going to be exploring this very shortly with Matt Armitage of Culture Pop. In the meantime, here is a track by Courtney Barnett, Nameless Faceless, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we are talking about facial recognition and surveillance, partly because Taylor Swift has been using it, or has been found to have used it at one concert to track down her stalkers, but also because in general, it's something that we're seeing rising around the world in countries like China in particular. And when we last spoke about it, we did hear back from some listeners who were like, hey, great idea, China. And so we're just trying to kind of unpack that and analyze it a little bit. Chan says, at least it becomes more interesting to attempt affairs. A spouse may think twice before taking that action. So I suppose there is that. You can also keep your thoughts coming about facial recognition and surveillance by WhatsApping 018-789-8899 or tweeting us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we have on the line Matt Armitage from Culture Pop. Matt, it's always good to hear from you. Are you at all surprised to see and hear that facial recognition is being used this way for surveillance?
It's a little bit surprising in the sense that anyone would use this kind of technology. It's a very kind of unregulated area. We know that Taylor Swift has had problems with stalkers in the past, so she's been quite proactive in her efforts to kind of limit the intrusion of these kind of people into her life. But that's not a justification for using this kind of technology. It's a very large hammer for a really tiny problem.
So when is surveillance acceptable or otherwise, you know, is it okay in any situation at all?
Well, it's not really okay in any sense. I mean, there's always a trade-off when you conduct any kind of surveillance. So we accept that governments conduct surveillance, for example, on other governments as part of their efforts to keep us safe. But even those efforts can go beyond what is kind of ethically or morally acceptable. That's why we rely on lawmakers to create an environment and a framework for these technologies to be used. So there have been, especially in the US, for example, there's been a lot of pushback against police agencies using drones as surveillance tools, because there's this risk that when you put all of these technologies together, CCTV, drones, facial recognition, biometric data, that you have this way to track every single individual 24 hours a day. And none of us want to live in that kind of society. So when you see private individuals like Taylor Swift using this technology that has a kind of dubious reputation, it does give you a lot of pause to think.
And while you were saying that, Matt, I did a quick Google of my own name. And yes, there were some images, mostly to do with BFM, but still not very happy about it. And I have to admit that it's a bit disconcerting to have pictures like that out in the open that, you know, you might not remember taking.
Right. It is. And that's just doing a search on Google. That's an open technology. So imagine what happens then if there's a database that's held in private hands and you don't have any oversight, because when your image appears on a Google search, you can write to Google and say, hey, can you remove my image? They may remove it, they may not remove it, or they may remove that that meta tag that allows your image to be searched. If this is in a privately held database, you have no recourse. You have no one to complain to. And until we have this framework, you have very few rights over what people are doing with your image.
And Matt, to what extent is the average person being surveilled?
Oh, we're being surveilled incredibly. I mean, for most of us, there are cameras in our offices. There are traffic cameras. When we go through a toll, very often our faces recorded on cameras there, not just the number plate of our cars. There are cameras when we go into malls, when we go into shops. There are cameras all over the place. And don't forget as well, you know, we've seen so many cases where hackers are able to turn on the cameras on our computers, on our phones, on our tablets. So there's an awful lot of surveillance that is either going on that we're unwittingly kind of walking into and our images are recorded, or the devices we own can be hacked to surveil us unwittingly as well. So our lives are lived very much in a kind of public space. And often when we're having, whether it's intimate conversations, whether it's, you know, just having those moments that we consider not to be being watched, they may be being played out in public spaces, but we don't think that anyone is paying much attention to us. We're actually being recorded, streamed, and catalogued in databases. And we have to kind of wake up to the fact that so much of our lives is being monitored and tracked, even if it is very kind of placidly or with no malicious intent.
Right. And as I mentioned earlier, every time we talk about surveillance on the show, we do get feedback from listeners suggesting it as something that is maybe a good idea, especially for just misbehaviors in general. And I get where that comes from, because it is about, you know, trying to feel safe or feeling safer in a space. Could you take us through why this is or isn't a good idea?
Well, because a lot of the time when people look at these things, they're looking at them in that micro perspective. So if you're looking at traffic cameras, for example, yes, that's a great way to curb wrongdoing on the road. It's a great way to bring people to account. But they forget that this information doesn't exist in a vacuum. When you have information like this, it exists in databases, and those databases can be linked, because that information about you on a traffic camera can then be linked to that information on you in a mall, that can be linked to you to the information that they have on you in the office. So, for example, you know, do you really want the government to know how long you spend in the bathroom on a bathroom break? Do you want the government to have that level of knowledge about your life? Because we are private citizens, but if we allow all of this information to be collected about us, we are no longer private citizens, we are public citizens. And once we become public citizens, that is kind of on that slope already to the erosion of our rights. It's very easy to start pushing more and more invasive technologies in, and you find what you're allowed to do, where you're allowed to go, how you're allowed to express yourself being curtailed very, very quickly. And it's incredible how this erosion takes place. It starts in the form of self-censorship. It starts in the idea that we have to behave in certain ways in public. So we start to change our behavior to conform with these ideas of society. Now, that's fine. That's always gone on. We, you know, we don't go out and rob people or hit people over the head because we want the thing that they have. Because for the majority of us, we know that that is not what civilized people do. But when you get into this situation where it can be so tightly controlled, then it becomes those politicians who decide what we can and can't do. So that's why this can become very, very dangerous. So we have to have those controls on how this information is used, and governments have to be limited in the ways that they can surveil us. That's, for example, why in most countries, if a law enforcement agency wants to wiretap you to listen in on your conversations, they have to go and get a court order. That process is very important, because it's that process of going in front of a judge that determines whether there is justifiable cause to record that information about you. If we give the government blanket rights, then we no longer have those independent protections. And it's very, very easy for us to slip into this idea of a kind of totalitarian state.
Matt, thanks for speaking with us. That was Matt Armitage from Culture Pop. Catch more of him on Tech Talk with Jeff Sandhu Fridays at 10 a.m. And we'd love to hear from you. Let us know what your thoughts are when it comes to surveillance. Should we trade off that bit of privacy for more security? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, earlier we were talking about party hopping, and Vijay says party hoppers are merely unethical opportunists. The regulations must be amended to give no chance for them. On the other hand, it must be given a change through fair re-election to make way for someone with integrity. And Eric also says, if it comes down to a choice between a stronger Bersatu with UMNO MPs versus a stronger UMNO PAS coalition, well, my vote goes to the former. UMNO PAS give me nightmares. You can continue to talk to us about either surveillance or, you know, party hopping or really anything that's on your mind. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to head to some music now. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.